The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday is starting now, and if you listen to us regularly, you know what hour one was. Chuck just said it's Wednesday. That means hour one was Chris Landry, and it was from LandryFootball.com. That is the website I go to first every day. That's the website you can go to. I'm on live when I do the show every day on Twitch TV. You can see it. But you can go there anytime during the day, and then it's already up there, and you can watch it on Twitch TV anywhere you want, anytime you want. Same thing, thepodcastpark.com or wherever you get your podcast. If you click subscribe, every day you will get the podcast of this. Just boom, shows up, and you can listen to it whenever you want. You don't even have to go retrieve it, fetch it, find it, hook it. You don't have to do any of that. It just shows up. So click subscribe wherever it is you get your podcast, and it'll just show up, and it'll be awesome. I promise. Coming up in about 10 minutes from Knowles 24/7, Brendan Sinone, we're going to talk FSU. But right now, I'm going to give you at least one headline.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, this is going to be the only one I give you. Headline. Coaches ask NCAA Rules Committee to address players faking injuries. All right. This is something that has gotten TV and other announcers in trouble before, other commentators, because we've all seen my team, your team, a game not involving either of our teams, and we're like, wait a minute, that kid just, they show the replay, and the kid's looking over to the sideline, and all of a sudden, it looks like Oswald was in the upper deck. Okay, we've all seen it. And like I said, I've seen my team do it. I've seen other teams go, my gosh, just fall down on the grass. Slow down that offense. We've all seen this. And so when I say the coaches, the American Football Coaches Association, AFCA, has asked the NCAA Rules Committee to address this. Now, Todd Berry, who is a coach back in the day, we know Todd Berry, and he is the executive director. He starts talking about the Ethics Committee and that this is bad for football, and we need you to address it. Now, the interesting thing to me is that the coaches are asking the NCAA to police the coaches. And specifically, like Todd Berry, I understand you got to legislate this stuff sometimes, but how about just looking out into the audience during your convention and going, all right, what are you doing? And name some names and show some highlights. I don't know what you do. What was it John McCain said when he was running for president? I will make you famous if you're a senator who wastes our tax dollars. So the AFCA Ethics Committee voted last month to recommend that the committee address the practice. Now, there has to be some sort of teeth involved here. You don't want to be like – it was bad with Kirk Herbstreit. Was it a Clemson player, maybe? It might have been a Clemson player that he, like, flat out said, oh, that kid's faking an injury. And it turned out kid wasn't. And he had to come out and apologize for it. You don't want to be Kirk Herbstreit. And by the way, during the game, it didn't matter what Kirk Herbstreit said because he was up in the TV booth. You can't be a game official and go, you're faking. And the kid's like, no, my Achilles just busted. So I understand that part of it. I've always thought that there was a simple way to throw teeth into this, because you stop the clock, you let the injured player off the field, and then everybody's lined up and, all right, got my breath, start the clock again. You know what you need to do? If you're the NCAA Rules Committee or a specific suggestion from Todd Barry, how about you put some teeth in it, all right? If the clock is stopped for a, quote, injured player or an actual injured player, that player can't return the rest of the quarter. Okay. If he's injured, well, he needs more than one play to get fixed, whatever, rub some dirt on his ankle or whatever it is you're doing. So just sit him for the rest of the quarter. I mean, you're not going to do that more than once or maybe twice, and it's probably going to be, all right, who's our third team safety? Get in there and fall down. Consider yourself up to date. There's other news, but I wanted to address this because this is basically saying the coaches, oh, please step in and regulate us. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little FSU Seminoles next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Nine states, 51 sticks, dealing it out. College football conversation every single day. It's what we do on the Chuck Oliver Show. And I've told you that individually, if you just look at it like just one player, an individual quarterback, you look at his numbers, there may not be any position in any sport where you get less of a true idea about what the guy really is, because there's so much context from play calling to offensive line, everything else. It is an indicator, but I mean, if you're throwing a bunch of interceptions, well, you know, that's kind of on you. And so it's not just an individual where you have to get the context. You really don't know what you're doing. I was looking at the Florida State roster, and I started at quarterback, and I never got beyond it because I think I counted four guys on the roster. Mackenzie Milton's there. Four guys on the roster who have started like Division I games at quarterback. Folks, that's not nothing. I also can't tell you within 10 miles what the Florida State quarterback position will be productivity-wise on a week-to-week basis, spring ball, August, December. I have no idea what it's going to equal. I know that they got more folks than most do who have started, though. So boil that down to what you want. I want to welcome on now, just a guy does a great job covering the Noles, Noles 24/7. It is Brendan Sinone. Brendan, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Is my very off the top of my head accounting, is that correct? Four guys who have started at quarterback. That's something to start with, but give me your assessment of the quarterback position going into spring.
They have four scholarship quarterbacks. All four have started at least one game at the college football level, which is pretty amazing given that last year they only had one quarterback who had started at the college level, and that was James Blackman. He's no longer on the roster. So they ended up having three other guys, Jordan Travis, who ends up being the quarter, you know, QB1 for most of the year for FSU, although he dealt with injuries. He ended up taking over the starting job. Tate Rodemaker, a true freshman who struggled. He got one start and played a little bit more. And then Chuba Purdy, who started late in the year against NC State, he looked really good in that game, at least in the second half in that game. But he also had some injuries too. So with all of that kind of factored in, like they had guys coming in and out of the lineup because there were so many injuries across the board. That's one of the reasons why we saw three different starters, or four if you count James Blackman. So that's part of that. But it was good to get that experience, I think, for all those guys and for the coaching staff to kind of see what they had in them. That'll be useful. But then obviously I don't even want to say the wild card, like the X factor for this position group is Mackenzie Milton comes in 20-something games as a starter, one of the most prolific quarterbacks numbers-wise returning in college football. But the variable there is the knee and how's he doing there, and that's going to be something to keep an eye on this spring for sure.
Handicap it for me. If you had to bet your Knowles 24/7 pension, tell me how this turns out. Maybe, I don't know, in April, maybe in August, maybe for the bowl game. And we're going to talk about it as if there is a bowl game this year.
Yeah, and if they get to the bowl game, too, it's been a little while. I think it's going to be Mackenzie Milton. And there's a few reasons why, Chuck. Now, again, the variable is that knee, correct? Right? So that's... that's something that we don't know entirely, like how he's going to look and how he's going to perform about 2 years removed from that catastrophic leg injury. It almost cost him his leg. Mackenzie Milton said he's about 90%, still has some issues in the morning when he gets up out of bed where it's tight. And there was like a 5-second clip on Twitter last week of FSU doing workouts, and he looked a little rigid in that little 5-second clip. The fan base freaked out. But from everything we've heard, he's actually moving pretty well on it, and he was really good talking to some UCF sources when he was working the scout team for them. So that last year. So with that in mind, Chuck, so I think I say Mackenzie Milton because you don't bring him in on scholarship where you have limited roster space and you're trying to turn things over. You don't bring Mackenzie Milton in unless you have confidence that he's at least going to give you a really good chance to start at quarterback. The staff loves his leadership. They love his pedigree and the fact that he's a winner. And they like that he can throw the ball around a little bit, too. And that's something that they haven't had in a couple of years.
Yeah, Brad, I think you were right in the middle of the target there, man. He's at least 51% leader and like maybe 49% actual player. But and for a quarterback, I get it. But there is a lot of hesitation from anybody I've asked to about, like, you know, what's the physical part going to be? Because he's talented. But until you see him running out there, you know, without a, you know, like an orange jersey on or something, you know, where you can't hit him. That's the proof in the pudding. Continuing, Brendan Sinone. I had an FSU, a buddy of mine who's a fan, he's a grad, asked me, I guess, my gosh, whenever it was, a year ago, hey, this kid, this running back from Texas A&M's coming, what's he like? And I said, grown man. I said, that's all I had for you, grown man. I said, you know, you only use one football, didn't get the run from Jimbo that he liked, wanted to go back home to Florida, liked Jimbo at FSU. You know, I gave him the whole backstory, but I was like, you got a grown man there. He didn't get a lot of run last year either. Tell me if I'm off on Jayshon Corbin and what is possible for that kid.
Well, so some of the – you mentioned he didn't get a lot of run. That's correct. Some of that, for context, is – I don't want to say he wasn't 100%, but he was still kind of working his way back from that hamstring injury that took most of that 2019 season away from him at Texas A&M. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but if you go back and you look at what he did in maybe the final four games or so of the season, that's when you kind of start to say, there it is. And they found out how to use him. They put him in the wildcat a lot to do some short yardage stuff, which he was great in short yardage situations, maybe a top 10 back nationally in terms of efficiency when it was third or fourth and short. So they had a lot of confidence in him to convert in those situations. So he showed good patience, good vision. But by the end of the year, Chuck, we started seeing explosiveness. We started seeing him be able to break some bigger runs, and I think that's what, if you're looking for an optimism for this FSU offense next season, it's whether he gets some of that back, because that's what he had at Texas A&M that was so special, especially like as a kickoff returner. He was a big play threat. He didn't really have that the first part of the year, but in the second part, he started to show that a little bit. So if he builds on it, that's a very optimistic sign and encouraging for FSU.
And also in the passing game a little bit, because, I mean, Jimbo, he's not changed his offense at all. I mean, it's still kind of, you know, it's a very, you know, Sunday sort of approach to things. And, you know, getting the running backs involved in the passing game is a big deal. And he did that last year in Tallahassee. Jayshon Corbin did.
Yeah, they did. And some of it's interesting with his development physically. I think he's up to 213 pounds now. That kind of goes into the grown man comment that you had, but he started to bulk up a little bit too. I don't know if part of that was by design to kind of try to feature what he could do well early in the year, again, as more of an inside runner, but he certainly has shown in his career, and Jimbo used to all the time, like a lot of running back screens and stuff like that for him at A&M to get him out in space. I think we'll probably see a little bit more of that this year because they added DJ Williams from Auburn to be kind of the power back, so that may free up Jayshon to do do a little bit more things and be more versatile, which is something Mike Norvell loves to do with his backs.
And that was another thing. See, the funny thing is I'm an Auburn grad, and so same guy. Hey, what do we got in DJ? I was like, I have no idea. Because he just did. He left specifically because he's looking around going, I not only haven't gotten many carries, I know I'm not because of Tank Bigsby. So if you've got an idea about what DJ is going to be, if you say short yardage, the bulkier guy, that's a role that I'm sure he would fill. What else about DJ Williams?
I was told specifically by someone when he first got here, they looked him up and down and said, oh, he's a grown man too. That's funny that that's a common theme of what they've been looking for to kind of add to some of the speed they have in the running back field there, is that he physically looks the part, very filled out, very strong, very built. So I think that's what points to him likely being that. You know, in Mike Norvell, when he was at Memphis, he had liked to have the all-purpose back and Tony Pollard, the guy you kind of move out in the slot. I think that's what Lawrence told Philly is going to do. He'd like to have kind of the balanced running back. That's what I'm blanking on the first name, but what Henderson did at Memphis. And I think that's what Jayshon Corbin's going to do.
Oh, Darrell Henderson, yeah.
Darrell Henderson, yep. And then the big, I'm blanking on the big running back name. I think it was Taylor was his first, or last name was Taylor. And he was more in between the tackle guy. I think that's what DJ Williams is going to be. So I think they're trying to replicate the usage that they had at Memphis, and I think they kind of have the guys to do that now.
Wrapping up with Brendan Sinone again from Knowles 24/7. So where's the explosion going to come and consistency on the outside? Because, the Florida State, I said for several years that, man, you know, Gainesville is where a four-star receiver goes to, you know, have 47 career catches. And then maybe emerge in the NFL, but just it wasn't happening on Saturdays. I've looked around, and I know every FSU fan, it is an old subject, development of wide receivers. But just give me a walkthrough. We got about a minute and a half left, a walkthrough of who the prime candidates are to emerge in 2021, because that's been a frustrating group.
It's a toughie, man. When you look at what they have on the roster coming back, they may have been the worst Power 5 wide receiver unit after Tamori and Terry left in terms of creating explosive plays. And there's some advanced metrics that show like they were just the wide receivers specifically were very bad at breaking tackles and creating plays in space. FSU tries to remedy that some by adding Andrew Parchment, but he won't be around until after the spring. He'll be around in May. So he's a Kansas transfer, very explosive 2 years ago at Kansas, had a bit of a drop off this year because the quarterback play was so bad, but he's kind of a jump ball perimeter player. And then the guy to really watch is going to be when he arrives in May, that's going to be Destin Hill, formerly Destin Pazon. Yeah. He's a four-star recruit. He's super fast, legitimate laser time, 4.3 speed, very athletic, very strong too. He's a guy as a true freshman. I think they're going to try to force the issue with him a little bit and get him the football because they don't have anyone else like that on the roster, frankly.
Well, Brendan, I appreciate it, man. It's a lot of potential good answers, but also a lot of questions in the interim. So I appreciate you walking us through that, brother. We'll have you on again soon. Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Brendan Sinone again from Knowles 24/7. So Mike Norvell, again, have you looked at the roster for Florida State? Like numbers wise, probably not. I get it, but if you look at the 80, whatever, two or three players, or 81, that were on scholarship the day he accepted the job, he's turned over like half the roster, like within a couple of guys of half the roster. When we're in an unprecedented year where you don't have to turn over the roster. Hi, I'd like to come back. Really? Let's talk about that. Have you explored Maryland? Look, I got a buddy. He coaches at Arizona State. He says the University of Arizona is a great place to play safety. He's turned over half the – old school – I remember when Sylvester Croom showed up in Starkville. He looked around the crew he inherited, and he was like, okay, it's time to run off some non-hackers. And I think it was 16 or 17 of Jackie's players that Sylvester Croom was like, yeah, this ain't going to last for you. Every coach has to do that, half. When nobody has to leave, when everyone could come back, Norvell putting his own stamp on it, and that's a good thing.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
So this passes for a headline now. In fact, I saw this on the crawl going across the bottom of my screen. Dan Mullen was asked a question about, you know, coaching future and NFL and Sundays and whatever else. And, you know, of course, my standard response is if you're talking to boosters or fans, I don't care what you say. Honestly, if Josh Heupel gets in front of a Vol Nation breakfast and say, hey, we're winning the next five national championships, I was like, you rock on, Josh. When you're talking to the media, there are other instances where it's like, I don't care if it's true or not. You say what you got to say. And a standard response is like Nick Saban, I am the Miami Dolphins head coach right now. And then Dan got pressed a little bit, and he talked about uncertainty with college. And like he basically read a news item about the current status of so many different issues in college football regarding players and mobility and compensation and XYZ. It was a nice summary about the game, but I didn't think it was earth-shattering. And then the first headline, Dan Mullen talks about move to NFL. I was like, I did not see that in his comments. And so how he could have avoided that is you just keep saying, you know what? I am home. I came here 3 years ago, and I never want to leave Gainesville. Even if you're Bobby Petrino and your agent's talking to Arkansas. Arthur Blank, I'm looking you in the eye right now, and I'm telling you, I am going to be the Falcons. There are times you just got to say what you got to say. Want to welcome on now a man who covers the program every single day and does a tremendous job with it. I wonder if he thinks it was a big deal. Want to welcome on from Gator Country. It's our good friend Andrew Spivey. Andrew, that was a huge story, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to last year, and that is Dan Mullen fumbling at the mouth with some of his words. And, you know, he tried to walk it back a little bit later on when we asked him, you know, do you kind of regret some of the things he said last year? And he said, well, I think they were misunderstood. I think the COVID thing was misunderstood. I shouldn't have said it at that time, but I think you misunderstood and took it the wrong way. And my response to that is, well, you said it. All people did was quote what you said. You're the head coach of the University of Florida. You know every little word you say is going to be scrutinized and is going to be picked apart. You have the ability to create the headline, and you kind of do when you fumble at the mouth with certain things. It's like yesterday. He had the opportunity to say, I do not want to go to the NFL. I am not going to the NFL. He didn't. So it leads things to be, you know, scrutinized and picked apart, and they were.
Andrew, let's talk about some positives here. And spring practice, when I see fill in the blank program announces 2021 spring practice, I'm like, yep, here we go. And for the Gators, it's tomorrow. What do you think the most important thing that Dan Mullen is going to and that staff will decide after their 15 practices?
First off, I think it's a little funny. Everyone else in the world's dealing with snow, and Florida's 75 degrees, and they're getting ready for a pretty spring practice tomorrow. But, to have a successful spring practice, I think two things need to happen. One, they need to figure out, you know, how they're going to go at quarterback. Obviously, Emory Jones is likely to be the guy, but figure out how the offensive line is going to improve with Emory Jones. The offensive line has to go from being a pass-blocking offensive line to a run-blocking offensive line. So create that identity on the offensive side of the ball. And then defensively, just get everything cleaned up. I mean, everything last year was just a cluster. It just was. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't get the plays in. They couldn't get lined up. Dan Mullen's been very hands-on on the defensive side of the ball this offseason. So I would look for that to get cleaned up. So those two things are probably the most important two things coming out of the spring.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about Kyle Pitts. I want to drill down on this a little bit because who replaces Kyle Pitts? Let me go ahead and answer, Andrew. No one does. But I'll be darned if there are two tight ends who played for Florida last year and one to play for LSU, that it's going to be different than Kyle Pitts, 6'6", running like a receiver. But the production doesn't have to be that different if you kind of throw everybody into the pot together. There may be as much talent just spread out among three guys.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. And like you said, you don't replace Kyle Pitts. He's a once in a generation kind of guy at the University of Florida. Just like let's talk about replacing Percy Harvin. They never have. They never will. But yeah, absolutely. I think the three guys. When you talk about Kamori Gamble, Keon Zipper, and then Eric Gilbert, who just transferred from LSU, who he'll be in the summertime. I think you absolutely can, and I think you're going to get three different types of players who all kind of equaled up to what Kyle Pitts was. I think the biggest thing that we're going to look for and see is Eric Gilbert that guy that they can really flex out and just say, hey, a third and three, we can throw you that slant pattern. Who's going to really take over that go-to tight end position? We all know Kamori Gamble is going to be more of a short yardage kind of guy. Keon Zipper is going to stretch the field, and Eric Gilbert's going to be a little bit of both. But who steps up to kind of be that number one guy and kind of takes the lead and gets more of the catches? But I absolutely agree. All three guys are going to play, and they're going to all three play a lot. I think you're going to need all three to play a lot simply because you lose a lot of receivers as well.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to go. It's funny you mentioned Percy Harvin because I don't know, maybe if you'll remember, you probably will, the Tennessee game, Kadarius Toney's freshman year, I actually came in that next Monday and I was like, guys, don't hammer me on this because there are certain players you just don't make comparisons to. I said, I think I saw like 5 seconds of Percy Harvin in Kadarius Toney this past Saturday against Tennessee. Well, now his time is up. Andrew, it is woefully inadequate for me to say, so you got to replace 160 yards rushing and 980 yards receiving. Talk about who can do all the things that Kadarius did, because the way he got to those yardage totals, it was indispensable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Jacob Copeland's going to get that role there. I mean, obviously he's not as quick and, as limble and does things that the body shouldn't do as Kadarius Toney does. But they're going to try it with Jacob Copeland. They're going to run him a lot in the reverses, in the jet sweeps and things like that. They're going to try to create those mismatches they did with Kadarius Toney with Jacob Copeland. Biggest question for Jacob Copeland is, can he catch the ball consistently? That's been a problem throughout his career and something that Kadarius actually struggled with early in his career. Can Jacob do that? And will Jacob adjust to that role that he hasn't been in? If not, I think Justin Shorter will get some run there, and Trent Whittemore will get a little bit of run there, and maybe even the freshman that now he's a redshirt freshman, Jaquavion Frazier, maybe he gets some run there. So I don't know if there's one guy. I think it's going to be several guys, but Jacob Copeland's going to get all the chance in the world to be that number one guy in the slot heading into the spring.
All right, well, let's flip it around and talk about one unit on defense. I've been doing a big drill down on the secondary quite a bit. Let's talk linebacker. They've got experience coming back. Is it going to be an elite group or just solid enough?
I mean, I think it has the ability to be good. I don't know that they're elite, and that's nothing against this group at all, but Ventrell Miller's kind of an old-school, linebacker. He's more of a head-hunting kind of linebacker. Is he going to play, 60 snaps a game? No, probably not, because he's not able to play on third down against that. I think you're going to see Derek Wingo and Tyron Hopper, two guys that are young guys who haven't played a ton. I think you're going to see both of those guys jump in and play a lot more, as they have the ability to kind of run with some running backs and run with some tight ends a little bit. So I think you're going to see those two guys get a lot of run. How good they'll be will be just kind of how they develop. Neither one of those guys have had a spring practice. Neither one of those guys have been able to play a lot because of injuries or COVID last year. So we'll see how they kind of develop. I think both of those guys will make a run to play a lot when Ventrell Miller's off the field due to passing situations. But they got depth, like you said, and they have a lot of ability. I just think, again, it's kind of, the whole summarization of the show so far, and that is it's going to be a lot of guys – instead of just one or two guys.
Wrapping up with Andrew Spivey. Follow this man on Twitter. There's no excuse. It's at Andrew Spivey GC. That's GatorCountry.com. Does a great job covering the Gators. Has for a while as well. Let's stay at linebacker. I was talking to somebody last week, and I apologize. I can't remember who it was, but I asked him about Diabate. And, like, you remember Leonard Floyd at Georgia, right? Always looked like he needed to put on about 15 or 20 pounds, but, okay, he's first-team all-conference, so I guess he knows what he's doing. I look at Diabate, and I'm like, put on 15 pounds, son. But then I also see him literally going sideline to sideline, chasing down, like, slot receivers and running backs. I'm like, maybe he's got it figured out. What do you think is eventually his body looks like? What type of player is he going to be?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I didn't really mention him as far as the inside linebackers go, and that's because his position's kind of up in the air and evolves kind of every year. I mean, he played a little bit of that buck position, then he played a little bit of that wheel linebacker position. He even got a little bit into the star position at times last year. So, and I kind of consider him more of an athlete. I do think eventually he probably ends up playing that more of that wheel linebacker, as they are trying to add some, you know, a little bit of size to him, but also keeping his agility and speed. I think the biggest thing with Diabate is he's turned into that leader, that kind of captain of the defense. So I think you definitely see him on the field at all times. And he could very well be a guy that lines up at will one play, and the next play he lines up at the edge, and then the next play he's up at the star. I just think he's one of those athletes that's kind of evolved in this spread offense era.
Last guy I want to ask you about, it's funny because, I mean, everybody knows what happened down the stretch with the Gators, but I thought Amari Burney actually played pretty well at the end of the season, and he is a guy that did what you were just saying about Diabate, same sort of thing. Burney was playing here this Saturday, there the next Saturday, et cetera. Not the easiest way to kind of get into a rhythm, but I think he's a good ball player. Like I said, he kind of upped it at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think what you just said is exactly kind of what's been the problem for Amari Burney. He first started out at safety, then they moved him down to that nickel star position, and then they tried to move him at linebacker. And I think he's finally found his, you know, kind of niche, and that's that linebacker slash, you know, star position. And he's finally really learned, okay, they want me to be this size. And like you said, he really came on at the end of the year. And, you know, I know Florida's going in this year expecting him to play a lot just because of his versatility. I think the biggest thing for Amari Burney is he has that ability to line up and guard that tight end, and he has the ability to line up and guard that running back. And Florida just doesn't have a ton of those guys right now, so Amari Burney is going to have to step up if this team on defense is going to be successful.
All right, Andrew, we're not going to ask Strickland or Dan Muller or anybody. We're asking you. Give us the lowdown. What will happen for the 15th session this spring for the Florida Gators? Will it be a game, a practice, a scrimmage? Is it going to be on SEC Network? Answer right now.
Yeah, I mean, what we've been told is it'll be just a glorified scrimmage on the SEC Network in the swamp is kind of what we're hearing. What that will look like, will it be first team versus second team? Will it be split up into teams like a normal orange and blue game? From what I heard, they haven't decided on that yet, but it's going to be a glorified scrimmage on the SEC Network. And I think that they're still trying to work out the time on that right now, but it'd just be a glorified scrimmage.
And players, coaches, officials, nobody else in the stadium, right?
Correct. As of right now, that is the plan.
Andrew, good stuff, brother. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, Andrew Spivey from Gator Country.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If you go back last spring, a lot of teams didn't have spring practice. So barring any COVID issues or anything that derails us from this plan that we have, it's going to be critical that these 15 practices, this time we get together as a team, is valuable and we maximize every single day.
That'd be Auburn head coach Brian Harsin. And the fan of a rival team or a dissatisfied, snarky Auburn fan, because you're in, I don't know, what were you in the Kevin Steele corner? I'm on Team Kevin. You may think, oh, what? You didn't take running a practice in an efficient manner seriously before? Of course he did. But I have talked about this. He's talking about, you know, now we got, like, we got up close and a flashlight shined on it last year about how you have to operate if you haven't been able to have a spring practice or a full August camp or whatever. And so he's saying, hey, whatever time we get, nothing guaranteed. Yeah, what, you got college basketball teams still. I get an announcement every day, it seems. Well, not every day. Let me take that back. I don't want to characterize it wrong. I don't know, a couple times a week from the ACC in particular. This game, this game, this game, postponed, canceled, rescheduled, pushed back to March, something. So you don't know what's coming down the pike. And he was saying something that I brought up last April. Do you remember when it was, all right, everything shut down. There is no recruiting. There are no pro days. There's nothing. Everybody, you got till Monday, grab your stuff, go home. My gosh, that seems so brutal. Oh, yeah, it was. If you, last April, I said, you know what's going to happen next year? Coaches are going to find a way to get every last second of spring practice in that they can. And so even guys like Nick Saban said, all right, how can we be even more efficient with our time? And so that's what Harsin is saying. So, again, Brian Harsin talking to the media on, Feinbaum show, right? Yeah, he was on the Paul Feinbaum show. So, good job there, Dan, getting that clip. We're going to have Dan pop in just a couple of minutes. But right now, I'm going to wrap it up on my closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Got to tell you, folks, building an entire recruiting class from the portal, it's an even better idea than I've already told you. And it's because of, I was reading a bunch of talk about the legislation that was tabled last month, and we've talked about it, the name, image, likeness, that's going to happen in some form. It has to. There's already been, like, state and federal discussion and laws passed about it. Provisions in California and what is it, Florida, it takes place in June, whether you're ready or July, maybe. Whether you're ready or not, NCAA, it's coming. But it is the immediate eligibility. And that was tabled, pushed off. Maybe we'll revisit it. All these kids in the portal are assuming it happens. And I have been skeptical of it. Last night I was reading some of the different cases of the kids in there and, you know, jumping in and what they're expecting. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. What if the legislation is passed regarding one-time transfer / immediate eligibility? Do you know what the best part of getting a transfer from the portal is? He's way less likely to ever transfer again. My gosh, people, you know, hopping around the country like you're barnstorming in the 30s, if you're a football player, that's not good for emerging on a brand new depth chart. But players will continue to do it. And I've said the best approach now by far is to embrace it. I even said a few months ago, go further than embracing it. Out of a full 25-player class, there's always a legacy. There's always a couple of local kids that have wanted to go to Arkansas since, you know, they were in the womb. Get 22 kids out of the portal. Get 22 kids transferring in from the portal. That was great advice based on getting more experienced players, physical strength, by and large, of like a junior versus an 18-year-old, as an example, and et cetera, et cetera. But with immediate eligibility being capped at one time, well, bringing in a guy who has already used up that one time, yeah, sign me up for that. The biggest upside, potentially, is that once you get a transfer in, it reverts to the old rules if this legislation is passed, where he is much more likely to stay regardless. So, yeah. the first, there's going to be a first, and he's going to have a lot of folks looking at him, and then there's going to be like 25 seconds all in the very next class going like 21, 22, 23 members out of the portal. No doubt in my mind. All right, that is my closing argument brought to you by the offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. You can be in Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, wherever. If you're in the Deep South and you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shannara and Associates. Dan Matthews.
Quick quiz to start it off here in class today. Assumption College. Do you know where Assumption College is?
Is that a Northeast liberal arts school?
It is. It is Assumption University, excuse me. And they are
in Massachusetts?
It is, as a matter of fact. They are in Worcester, Massachusetts. And the reason why
I knew that for a really nerdy reason, but go ahead.
But another reason, too, is because, by the way, they're a Division II school that plays in the New England 10 conference there. Carlins Platel. Have you ever heard of a player named Carlins Platel?
I have not.
Well, you're going to hear about him now because Carlins Platel is now the final scholarship that is being handed out at South Carolina for the 2021 class, and he is a cornerback that comes out of Assumption University on the Division II level, and he is going to now find himself at least suiting up and possibly getting on the field and playing this coming fall for Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Chuck, me and you have talked about this before, about the advanced scouting that is already taking place in college football. We've talked about it more from the personnel side of how can I get as many great football minds around the table for our meetings and being able to go into the gumbo that is a game week preparation and trying to beat that other side. And not only trying to beat that other side, beat them in the submission so many times that people look to us for the answers. And that's exactly what you're seeing there on that side. This is the other part of it that is coming as well. A few years ago, Tyler Catalina came in to play offensive line at Georgia, and he came from University of Rhode Island. And people are kind of looking at him saying, well, an FCS offensive lineman coming up to a major SEC football program, I don't know how well this is going to work out. And he took his lumps.
Yeah, Mason Halter at Florida the year before.
Absolutely. Yeah. There have been other players that this is the other part of it. Nick Saban, I guarantee you, is already doing this. Now, is Nick Saban ever going to go to a school like Mississippi College and say, hey, that kid might have had some knee injuries and everything else that made him end up at Mississippi College, but guess what? He can play here at Alabama. More than likely not, but he will look to other schools and say, hey, guys that people don't necessarily believe that we would go after, if we have a specific need, absolutely. We're already going to have a book on that guy, and we're going to go after them. It's not just going to be Shane Beamer doing this. There will be other coaches because it is going to be a situation where there is going to be a grad assistant, comes into work that day, puts his computer back down. Hey, I want you to watch this tape on Trinity University in Texas. Why? Because they got a safety there that's got the size. Maybe there were grades, maybe there were whatever else, which grades would not be for going to Trinity. But regardless, there's a guy that could fit here in this program and can play on this level. We got to go get him.
You're correct to mention Saban there, and this is something I brought up several times, by the way. You've heard me talk about this, that when he first started getting into the transfer, not the portal, but I guess the transfer market, it wasn't, you know, like Eric Gilbert this year at Florida, it wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, I'm about to say I expect, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's first team all SEC, not in, you know, July, but in August. That's not who Nick Saban went after. Remember, it was the receiver from Oregon State. It was the receiver from Ball State, I think, or Bowling Green that was like the fourth or fifth guy, but there was a specific role he wanted a guy to fill. So good stuff there, Dan, David, everybody, the guest. I appreciate y'all getting in. Just 22 hours, folks. That's all I need. Put my head on the pillow, recharge some batteries. I'll be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.